Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. Alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, co-host, overall great gal, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Andy, our producer, is here as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. We're settling in. We're in our little green comfy chairs. Mel's got some flats on. I didn't think about your outfit in advance. I'm going to have to... Mel's got the look of a young librarian who's just got hired at the... Mel's got the look of a middle-aged librarian.
I don't know what this is.
Tell me about it.
I just...
Mel's stripes. Stripes and sweaters.
Well...
Yeah?
I essentially told Andy that, like, stripes and sweaters are really big in, like, 2012, and then I'm like, and I'm wearing them.
I walked out today into this outfit, and I said, is Cream having a moment? And you go, don't ask me, which means you were unhappy with your current outfit.
Yeah. I don't know. But Andy and I are both wearing Carhartt.
Nice.
T-shirts with pockets.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Andy does have plaid on plaid.
Yes.
Double
plaid.
Double flannel shirts.
Double plaid.
Double plaid. So, double plaid, man.
He's pulling it off.
Yeah, plaid square.
So, yeah.
Andrew Platter over there. That's a reference for nobody. What was I going to say? Good start. But I think your top half is thrifted right now, right? Thrift? Jeans not thrifted.
The Carhartt t-shirt is thrifted. This is my old Navy sweater that keeps on giving.
Oh, yeah. you're gonna laugh at what I'm about to say right now because you love this type of sale. Thrifted and gifted. I knew you'd love thrifted and gifted. Right here. Shout out. This is what I do. I go and I collect coffee-related friends.
Me too.
Around, and then their gear.
Now, I mean, I live in black coffee shop t-shirts. So if I actually wore on the podcast what I wore every day, it would be that.
Mm.
Black coffee shop t-shirts.
Mine would be this and a pair of athleisure
pants.
Yeah,
like a hoodie and pants. Or shorts.
We're gonna talk a lot about this race earlier today, but or later in this episode, but one of the number three runner on my son's team, I don't know why I needed to say his number, but kid on the team who's a cool kid, he's an underclassman, he came up to me at Joel's race on Saturday and was like, hey man, cool pants. And he's wearing the same Vuori athleisure pants as me and Birkenstocks with socks. I was like, this is like my signature look. So you rule.
I didn't know he came up to you. I thought you.
No, he initiated.
Came up to him.
And he's like, I was like, aren't they so comfortable? He's like, yeah, my uncle got them for me. Okay. Well, I bought them with my own money.
No, but I laughed because I was like, oh, Joel doesn't know about Vuori's. Like our son.
Yeah, he does, right? Sorry, I gotta blow my nose. This is a good start.
He doesn't know about bougie athleisure wear.
If I'm sounding a little more sultry than normal.
Yeah.
We're milking a cold. He doesn't. That's not his style. Joel's a vintage man.
Yeah, he's wearing like 90s warm ups.
Yeah.
Like black, swishy.
Yeah.
Swishy warm ups from the 90s. Yeah.
I like an outfit that it announces I'm on my way. Is there a flag in the wind coming at me?
Is he rocking any of those Adidas snaps? Just ready to go.
Pull-offs or
I think he did have a tearaway.
Tearaways, yeah.
Yeah, he might have sold them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He comes home with, I mean, he has a lot of like Nike sweats that are vintage. Yeah, because Nike holds up.
Yeah.
Like a lot of those, like 20 years later, they still function. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Nike's.
Those kids figure
those kids. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Listen,
yeah.
Listen,
that's real quality work, you know? Can't, you know, it's all right, I'm moving on. I don't have anything.
I said it. I was like,
yeah. The tearaway pants of the 90s and 2000s, I wore a pair once or twice, and I remember being like, I'm cold because They didn't close all the way. Yeah, they had gaps in them.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. they were intentionally made for basketball players who were warming up and then had to have the moment and it all, you know.
They are real big in the, my brother's soccer scene.
Oh,
like
really?
That, like,
yeah.
All their teams
won. Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, being on the field
the
in the morning. It's
well, cold, you didn't have to then... take your cleats and exactly. shoes off. That was the best part. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to be confused with those, like, hiking pants that could become shorts. You could zip.
Oh, wow. I think that's the type of thing that I would judge as a younger man. But again, as an older man.
You're like,
yeah.
It's convenient.
Yeah, comfort is king.
Two in one.
Yeah.
You shorts, mean, pants.
You mean you're prepared for all circumstances? Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I respect smart. That. I like a pants that's like a Swiss Army knife. Could you also become a swimsuit at a moment's notice?
Probably, yeah.
Even shorter, one yeah. more zip.
I was gonna say, up to the running short length. You know, you got the,
yeah.
the lows and then the
yeah.
capri, boom, yeah. ankle.
And then I can,
mid
and then
high,
I, and
high,
I can
high.
Take the remainder and I can re-zip that into like a hat. Anyways, guys, we have
a multi-purpose pants.
Transformer pants. Mm-hmm. We've got to stop dillying and dallying here. We've got an episode to get to. This is an episode about Thanksgiving, and we got weekend recaps to do, and we got
7 minutes in on pants.
We gotta hey, listen. Let's do a couple reviews. You guys have been giving more reviews. Thank you. It's very appreciative. This one is from Tay Duel. 5-star, poorly written review. This review is not as good as Amanda G's. There you go.
Awesome.
This one is by Flyby, 5-star. Does this please Mel?
Yes. Yes, it does.
And this one right here is 1-star. This is our first ever 1-star review. We've never had one of these. This okay. is from Jess Qua, 070806. 1-star. Subject, let her finish a sentence. I tried to listen to this episode because it sounded interesting. I couldn't even get 10 minutes in because he kept interrupting her. Exclamation point. It was so annoying and hard to listen to. She is the one with the experience as a military child, and yet he was the one speaking 99% of the time. Stop interrupting and let others finish even just one sentence. And here's a comment on YouTube. Please go back to not worrying about the interruptions. That awkward holding back when you clearly have something to say is painful, and y'all have a style that works for you. Mel can tell you if she is bothered by it. Everyone else, don't marry Dustin. Problem solved.
Oh, man, this is fun.
This goes to show you can't please everybody.
No.
This is our, you know, I've kind of been exploring this as a topic on stage right now, but it's just nothing you could do to make everybody happy. And mm-hmm. some people listen to this and they go, stop interrupting her. And then other people go, I'm listening to a married couple talk, and this is how married couples talk. They kind of interrupt each other. They have like a certain rhythm and flow to each other.
Yeah. I was thinking about a lot of content creators online will
hold
say,
on real quick. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. A lot of content creators online.
A lot of content creators online will say, keep scrolling, you know, cause yeah. like, because
on to the next thing,
but people love to be like the one in 1,000,000th and they're like, actually, that's not true. Actually,
yeah.
this doesn't apply to me. Actually, your idea is wrong. And people just love to be like the contrarian or the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Or be like, you're wrong. This doesn't work.
Yeah.
And not for me, it doesn't. And so I do think there's just always going to be someone who
yeah.
is like, wants to chime in and uh-huh. Disagree.
Well,
you know, and they can because they can comment.
Right.
You know?
And this is, you know, I kind of learned this listening to Jimmy Carr in that interview. But he was talking about comedians where he said, you know, if you think this comedian is the funniest guy in the world, you're right. And if you think he's not funny at all, you're right. And if you think that I interrupt Melissa too much, you're right. And if you think I don't, you're also right. There's no number.
Yeah. You know? I mean, what are you going to do? Like, test it. Like in one episode, he interrupted her 10 times.
Yeah.
And you can only interrupt someone 5 times before it's excessive. You know, like, I mean, there's not a formula for,
yeah.
we for should, dialogue.
We're going to send this out to test groups. Hey, get a
focus group.
Focus groups. Get a group of people together in Omaha.
Yeah.
Sit them in a room. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, I like her. Remember that in...
do some on-screen
pics. Yeah. I like when he says, hey, now. Sorry, that was from the Larry Sanders Show. They always really liked him. I think he's really funny when he says, hey, now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, anyways. So thanks for the comments, everybody. I've come to grips. This is a part of 40. People are going to like you, and people are going to hate you, and you're all right. That's great. Nobody's liked by everybody. Two most divisive figures in the world right now, Donald mm-hmm. Trump, Taylor Swift. Very popular, very hated, vilified, like, and praised.
Yep.
You know? Mm-hmm. Who's liked by everybody? Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Anyways, let's dive into some weekend recap and keep leaving those comments and reviews. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Especially, Andy, you can leave comments and reviews on Spotify now, right?
Yes, you can.
Tell us all about that, Andy Lara.
You can comment on Spotify.
Comment, like, okay. Like you can leave reviews, you mean?
So we could decide to do polls if we like on Spotify, and if people could leave their opinion there. Mm-hmm. We could poll people. They could leave comments, which kind of acquiesced as reviews.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I've never really known what acquiesced means.
Me neither. I wonder if I used it right.
Yeah. It's kind of antiquated. Sorry, that's a cult.
Oh, my gosh. Acquiesce means to, like, adjust, I think.
Yeah?
Wait, that can't be right.
That is definitely just a brand of candles called Acquiesce.
Yeah, I'm going to love editing this part.
No, you got to keep it in. Yeah, I don't see any written reviews yet. I see we have 169 ratings, but...
Except something reluctantly, but without protest. Wow, what a word.
I like when they say it.
Oh, that I actually like my usage of it. You get acquiesced.
Reluctantly, without protest. Yeah, that's funny. Hit the thing. This is one of my favorite things on Google. They tell you how to say it. Hit that little speaker next.
Yep. Oh, sorry.
That's great. It's good podcast content.
Plugged into the...
Oh.
Hmm? Acquiesce.
Oh, you didn't hear
it's
it,
did you? No, yeah. It's fine.
Acquiesce is how they said it. Acquiesce.
No, they didn't.
Mel, you don't have headphones on. Acquiesce. Try it, Mel.
No. No.
Acquiesce.
No.
Acquiesce.
That's wrong.
Huh? If I said the word acquiesce to you, what would you think that is? Acquiesce?
Nothing.
No?
Yeah.
Acquiesce is, what is acquiesce? Well, it's the, acquiesce is, it's certainly a god of some type. What was acquiesce the god of?
Hercules' brother.
Hercules' brother?
Yeah.
His weak little brother. He's smart.
I'm acquiesce.
No, he's not even smart. He's just a runt little brother. Hey, Hercules. Do you think maybe I can go on an adventure today? Shut up, acquiesce.
Okay, Hercules. Go hang out with the poets.
Yeah.
I'll keep going and throwing some rocks today. Hey, Hercules!
He's turned into Mickey on my
Hercules! I'm acquiesce!
There you go. I was thinking Rudolph.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whiniest little character. Anyway. Let's do a weekend recap and we're talking about the wrong holiday. First off, I was in acquiesce, Missouri. No, it was a great weekend. It was a very different. It wasn't even a weekend. Weekend recap is a very interesting thing. So last week I flew to St. Louis on a Tuesday and stayed at Greg Warren's house, host of The Consumers. I was gone 3 nights. I stayed at Comedian's house 2 of the 3 nights. And Greg's is great. He's got a cool place in St. Louis there. We stayed there. It's nice. It's nice to see someone that you like and stay at their place. And, he's a guest room that he hosts essentially comics. Greg's the best. Love Greg. And we got some breakfast the next morning. Then I was the first guest in the history of The Consumers, which I think comes out today.
Oh yeah.
Talk about some YouTube comments I could probably avoid.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
We did an episode on Pringles. It was very fun.
That's what I saw. I was going to say it was a Pringles.
Pringles, yeah, which he used to sell. He has a great joke about selling Pringles in his special. So
there were four of you?
There were
the
four
show?
Of us, nice. Yeah. So it was great. It was a good time. And then I drove to St. Louis, to Springfield, which is about 3 hours away, did a show in Springfield, Missouri, did two shows, The Blue Room, mm-hmm. almost sold out too, which is great on a Wednesday. Club was very happy. Cool city, old Route 66 city. Loved it. Loved the people. Loved me some Midwest folk. And I kept doing Mark Christopher Lawrence old bit about Missouri pawning itself as the Midwest Missouri, you know. But anyways, it was great. And then the next day I went to Kingdom Coffee in Springfield there, which is very good. They only had one pour over. It was a Mexican, not blend, single origin. I don't tend to love Mexican, but I did like this one. It was very good. And then I drove. This was one of the longer days of comedy I've ever had. I woke up in Springfield, Missouri, and I drove through mostly forest for a lot of it, like the Mark Twain forest, all the way to Nashville, which was 7.5 hours, which is a long drive for a 40-year-old. And got there. Did a corporate gig, and it went fine. It was great. It, you know, pays rent for a few months, and that's what corporate gigs are for. And it was a good group. It was a bunch of commercial real estate bros, which is not like my...
It's like that and wealth management companies.
Yeah, they do a lot of that. Yeah. And I always have the joke about wealth management. Bro. Yeah, I'm like, you know, congrats on all your success. That you have an amount of wealth that needs to be managed. It's crazy, you know. I'm happy for you. But it's not like, it's like a lot of business majors and, you know, like, you know, and it's like when I do church events, everyone's like, do you want to do a men's event? And I was like, are the women doing one? Because if you've seen this current hour, I got like 8 minutes on pap smears. I got a big chunk of pap smear material. And
did you do that at the wealth?
I did.
Oh, no, the realtor.
I did. But there were enough women in there because I go.
Realtors.
Because I go. This is going to. Because I go. UTI into romper into pap smear into period stuff. And if they like the UTI stuff, then I'm like, all right, the women
you're
crowd
in.
Liking this.
You're in.
And
yeah.
I mean, that's a run of, that's 12, 13 minutes of material. That's what it says on this little sheet of notes that I, UTI, romper.
Yeah.
Pap smear. Period. And it's the corporate hour is kind of a mix of old and new material.
Yeah.
And I was like, this, so if they like that, and that's why when I do like some women's event, they're like, oh my gosh, this guy, right. Who's this guy?
Mm-hmm.
It also starts with women's fears. There's a lot of stuff. You can tell that I'm married to a woman and have two daughters and am open for a female comedian a lot. So anyways, that was good. And then I went and stayed at John's, which I always stay at when I'm there in Nashville, stay at John Crist's house. And he was there, which is great. So we hung out a little Thursday night, and then he wasn't leaving till late Friday. So we got some coffee there at 8th and Roast. And then I flew home. Mm-hmm. Flew home. We went to the Thrice show, which was great. Good
Andy
show.
Was there,
yeah, and Andy was there. He said we looked very Seattle.
Yeah, we didn't double up on flannels.
We had
like a light coats on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty cold.
Yeah, light. I mean, light coat that looked like a parka in San Diego.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, it was an outside show in November.
Was
mine was
it's a
like
big flex.
Mine was quilted, I guess. Yeah. That's not a Seattle coat, though, Andy. The rain is going to drench that. It wasn't waterproof.
Yeah, that's not red. That can't handle rain. It had rain.
It did rain a little bit.
It did. It had, there was, yeah.
You could have withstood a little rain.
I had a hood.
Yeah, I mean,
with a lot of rain.
Packs away.
I'm only happy when it rains.
Okay, I wasn't in a raincoat. If I was in Seattle, I would have been in a raincoat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That also happened to be my warmest coat to wear, so.
Yeah.
I'm only happy when it's complicated, you know?
Yeah.
Garbage. First concert I ever saw.
Well,
that's awesome, man.
Garbage and Hole.
Very cool. Oh, that's a great show.
Yeah. It was 107.7 The End's Deck the Hall Ball. That was the alternative station up there. This would have been 2001, 2000.
Who'd you go with?
Kristen Carlson, my then girlfriend, jealous?
No.
Ready for the third band? Soul Coughing. Do you remember Soul Coughing?
I don't remember
okay,
that.
Good. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. I was an eighth grader and I was like, this is a pretty hot show, you know. Mm-hmm.
Who drove you?
Probably her parents.
Both ways?
I don't know. Yeah, now we're doing that. Oof. Yours was
Was this
finally I figured
out go or did you want
to
go?
We wanted to go. Yeah, yours was finally I figured out.
No,
but
I mean,
it took a long, long time.
I definitely went to some.
You probably
Christian
saw some Rebecca
concert.
St. James
yeah,
before
I think,
that. Yeah,
I saw some Christian concerts in Texas. I moved to Washington State in eighth grade, mm-hmm. and I think my first concert was Matchbox 20.
Oh, good one!
Yeah, the arena, Key Arena. But my parents drove us there, and my friend's parents drove us home.
Mm.
You know. Oh, and who opened for them?
Santana.
Think about it. Well, actually, we got there late. Lifehouse was on stage when we got there.
And then there was
another band. There was a middle that I'll think of it.
Probably The Calling.
Yeah. Blues Traveler?
No.
Blues Traveler would have buried them. Blues Traveler can wail. Hook?
I'll think of it. I can't think of it right now.
Well, we're 20
minutes.
Might have
just been Lifehouse and Matchbox 20.
Yeah. Wallflowers?
It doesn't matter.
Wallflowers would have been the headliner.
Now I can't think about anything else.
I've been trying to figure out who middled for when we saw Mike Birbiglia at University of Washington when we were there, who middled, because mm-hmm. the opener was Mulaney. The
yeah.
host was Mulaney.
Mm-hmm. And that would have been like 06.
And then when I randomly... 04. Yeah, exactly. And then when I randomly met Birbiglia, and he's like, I think it was Doug Benson, which it very well could have been Doug Benson, which, I mean, what a show. Yeah, because it was like this like Comedy Central college tour thing.
Yeah.
And I've never met Mulaney, and I don't want to because don't meet your heroes type thing. But I always remember he had a joke about, this is the most dated joke. This is so clearly mm-hmm. early 2000s. He had a joke about writing a suicide note in Wingdings. Remember the font Wingdings? Anyways.
Yes.
We got to get to some episodes. First off. Our weekend was fantastic, and we're going to talk more about this in future episodes. But our son qualified for state, and Mel has been telling everybody.
I am on cloud nine. I'm still in shock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still shocked.
So Joel is a senior cross-country runner and track runner, and he got fourth in league.
Yeah.
And was ranked in like the 30s
for this race.
And to for sure make it, you probably had to get top 10. We thought it was probably going to be top 10, top 12 or so. And he finished 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And a strong 10th. Didn't come down. Like, there was a good, I think they call it gapping. They gapped the guy behind him.
Yeah, there was a couple seconds between them all.
And then the guy, and 12th place was his teammate who did qualify for state as well. So
yeah,
Joel and his
they got the last two individual spots.
And going to state is so fun. And it's not, like, I cannot emphasize like how big of a deal this is in the sense that like we grew up in Washington and you went to state as a freshman in track. Like and you were a great athlete, don't get me wrong, but going to state in D1, which is the highest division in California, like we were looking at times right before this, like your districts in the school you went to, Stadium High School, top 40 went to state because it's so many
top
there's so
40
many
individuals
because there's so many less runners there in the state of California.
Well, it's
big
more
old
so
state,
there's less districts
because there's less people.
Yeah, okay. We're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But
then why'd you correct me?
Well, I was clarifying because Washington State probably has like 5 districts.
Yeah.
And California has like 12.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So thus the funneling.
Can you Google the state populations just out of curiosity? I want to know what the state, how many is Washington State population versus California?
Yeah.
But yeah, so top 40 would have went
so
your
like
league.
A fourth, right?
Yeah.
A fourth of Californians in San Diego qualify for state versus, Tacoma runners.
Yeah,
you know,
it's crazy.
California's 38 0.9, just about 39.
So 39 million.
39.
Washington was 7.8 million.
Oh my gosh. There's 31 more million people in California than Washington. That's crazy.
And then all the like elite invites that they have down here are insane.
Yeah.
It's just Southern California, there's so many invitationals.
Yeah.
And they're just like world-class runners. And they're still really good runners in Washington State. It's just so much more competitive.
Like, I'm a college football fan, and I'll tell you, they're always talking about whatever school, whether it's Alabama or UW or USC or Michigan, they always talk about Southern California recruiting. Like, a lot of time there's a guy on that staff who's just well-networked in Southern California. That's his job.
Yeah.
Because there's so many athletes down here. So, yeah, we couldn't be prouder.
Yeah.
There's Mel cried. Mel's cried so much.
I continue to cry. I can't contain it. It's like, I just can't even believe he did it. And his teammate is so awesome.
And his teammate, yeah, it's great.
So awesome.
We've never been more excited to go to Clovis, California.
Mm-hmm. So I think my favorite part was, we know this course because he's done it 5-6 times.
Right, it's at Balboa.
And so you are kind of in the starting line, finish line, and then they come through like twice.
Yeah, we divvied up where we could cheer
for him. And I went down to the big hill that they run up and down, and then they have these kind of it's just like the third mile.
Mm-hmm.
They're down there, and the first mile and the third mile. And so I was down there yelling at him and Tyus and telling them what place they were in.
Yeah.
And it was just, and then it was really cool, like his wrestling coach came.
Yep.
And he wrestled for 2 years, and then the athletic director was there.
That's cool moment.
The head track coach came to conference. You know, and sometimes the distance runners, they're like, who are you? You know, because the sprinters get a lot of fanfare, and we've had some amazing sprinters.
Yeah.
So for the head track coach to come, that was really cool, too.
It was really cool.
So.
Yeah, it was really fun, and it was really emotional, and you just get so proud. And I will tell you, one of the great things about being a parent is you can legitimately celebrate another human's achievements more than yours. And other people could probably do that with friends and family and loved ones and stuff. But it's a classic thing where people get competitive with their spouse, even, you know, or competitive with their friends. Certainly in my industry, people get very competitive with each other.
Yeah.
And they can be competitive with their kids. But you don't see that a lot, but you do see it. But it is like, oh, I'm happier that you got this than if I would have gotten this. I'm happier. I remember I was there when you qualified for state track, you know, your child, this little thing grew up, and it's not even the end of his career. I mean, he's walking around doing his best Kobe and being like, job's not done. You know, he's like, I mean, and he's not right wrong in that he's probably going to run in college at this point, but you're just like, it's so fun. So cool.
I think
getting recruited, college like recruiters are coming up to him after, like, this is awesome. This is so fun.
I think at the end of the day, I was like, this is one of those days I won't forget.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, gosh, that's crazy.
I know. I kept bringing up, I was like, yeah, our little boy. And then I kept bringing up little memories of him. And you're like, okay, stop. So anyways, more to report on that, I'm sure. Not next week, but the following week. Because 2 Saturdays from now, we're going to that. But this is our Thanksgiving episode, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Because we're not releasing an episode on Thanksgiving. So we asked you guys for your Thanksgiving hot takes. And I love this. And we're going to ask you guys continue to do them for the rest of the holidays. So give me your Christmas, your just December holidays, whatever you celebrate, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. Maybe you don't celebrate anything. Maybe that's your hot take. Just keep giving us some holiday hot takes. We've done holiday horror stories, and we have a few of those to share as well.
Mm-hmm.
But give me some more of your hot takes. What do you do? What do you don't do? Well, you know what
you did, but you stopped doing.
There you go. Yeah. You know, because I really like these. Now let's start with some of ours, and then we'll get into some emails.
Okay.
First off, I think I've said this to you before. You know, people have a lot of mixed feelings about Thanksgiving. Some people, I think in the past I've said it's kind of a foreplay holiday, kind of a warm up, you know.
Yeah, I think you said it was the middle child too.
It is a middle child holiday.
Mm-hmm. Between Halloween and Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've come around a little bit in it because I think Thanksgiving is a little bit of what you make it, you know, and I think we're going to see that in some of our emails and our comments and stuff here. But in some ways, Thanksgiving is, how should I say this? In some ways, I think Thanksgiving epitomizes the American holiday because it has a lot of
overeat,
quintessential American
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
overeating, strained family relationships, sketchy historical roots,
sure,
and football.
Yeah.
Those are four of our big things.
True.
Like when you think about what does it mean to be an American?
Overspending because like the Black Friday.
That boom. Straight in to
consumerism. Mm-hmm.
I mean bang, 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 but that's a five tool player of a holiday.
Yeah.
Five star holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, and Thanksgiving I think is I don't know. I think we're going to get into this a little more. I've kind of come around, like I was kind of down on Thanksgiving for a while,
right?
But it is a kind of an origami holiday. Like, just make what you want it to be.
Yeah, I kind of appreciate that it's not a gift based holiday.
Yes, yes. Totally agree with that.
And the point is that you are like gratefulness, you know,
right.
for life and relationships. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gratefulness, great thing. Should pick a different word. But
I liked it.
So I'm all for taking time to reflect and be thankful for what you have. Yeah.
I totally agree. It is and it is probably the holiday that kids appreciate the least. Right?
Yeah.
Like, did you guys like Thanksgiving as a kid? I hated Thanksgiving as a kid. It's food I don't like. Mm-hmm. There's no gifts. There's no activity.
Mm-hmm.
We're eating at way different hours than we normally do.
Yeah, you're like, we're going to have the biggest meal ever at 2 p.m. You know, and you're like, why?
You're like, when you were a teenager, you're like, I've been up an hour. I'm not ready for turkey.
I liked like... I mean, my mom didn't make mashed potatoes and stuffing any other time of the year.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
That and then the pies. You
pies
know?
Are great.
I like ate Thanksgiving. I loved eating the Thanksgiving dinner at like Coco's.
Yeah.
So I love Thanksgiving.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, now what do you mean? Your family would go to Coco's?
Yeah.
No.
So it's like a family style diner restaurant in California. But like on the senior menu, they had like a Thanksgiving meal. And like, I would always.
Year round. You are always Thanksgiving.
So
yeah.
I'm Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All year.
I could eat mashed potatoes
you would
and
live
turkey
in,
any day of the year.
If this is Nightmare Before Christmas, you're picking Thanksgiving Town.
Yeah, I'm Jack Turkey.
I'm Jack Turkey.
You love it.
I think that's a whiskey.
Jack Turkey.
Wild Turkey. Jack Daniels.
No, I think for me it was the novelty.
Yeah.
In the sense that we didn't eat that kind of meal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but once a year. But
well, and I think that you... but. Ironically, your Thanksgiving hot take is...
don't cook that meal. Yeah, so I'm a total...
hypocrite.
Hypocrite, yeah.
So your favorite part...
So I liked how my mom cooked it, but I don't cook it for my kids.
I think we need to normalize not cooking on Thanksgiving if you don't want to. There's no rules.
I know, and it was my mom's birthday. Almost
it's
every
my mom's birthday too.
They would make our moms Thanksgiving on their birthday.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not even your birthday.
And it's not my birthday, and I'm like, nope. I did do it, and then we started traveling. We were out of town on Thanksgiving for multiple years.
Yeah,
and then
that's where it all started.
And then what happened was you released your first special. Thanksgiving week.
Is that true?
I believe so. And then we were like, we got to order takeout because we got all this other work we have to do. And then we were like, oh, this is awesome. Order takeout.
Yeah.
And then we just stopped.
It started with, I took work in Vegas over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we went to a restaurant that for like $200 served you an entire pretty good Thanksgiving meal.
It'd be on the table immediately.
And then they would box it for you, and you're like, this is great. And then we were like, got home and got on Google, and you're like, this exists here too, huh? This is pretty, this is buying a lot of time back in your life, you know? If you don't, that's what I'm saying. If you don't like cooking or no one in your family likes cooking, don't cook. Normalize not cooking. Do what you want. It's a choose your own adventure holiday.
You don't have to make turkey or ham. You can, my friend's camping. They're camping out of town and they're bringing steak.
Yeah.
They're going to have steak on Thanksgiving.
No, I genuinely am so all for you just doing whatever you want for your Thanksgiving. So just with that being said,
have a meal.
That's our hot take.
Yeah.
Don't cook if you don't want to. But if you want to cook, cook. Do what you want, man. Choose your own adventure. You're a grown up. All right, let's get to a bunch of emails. Here we go. Thanksgiving hot takes. Here we go. This one is subject hot Thanksgiving take. This is from Kimberly. Hi, Dustin and Melissa. I started listening to your podcast a little while ago after the We're in the Car and Melissa's Targets video and haven't looked back since. So funny. There you go.
Yeah.
My hot Thanksgiving take is don't make it healthy. I live in an area of New England where every potluck dish features fresh garlic and is served in a cast iron skillet. Says Andy's attention. And I guess that's all well and good. But if you're in charge of the green bean casserole for Thanksgiving in my house, leave the olive oil and almonds out of it. It's a four cans and dump recipe. Don't overthink it. And if you add kale to any recipes, you'd better offset it with a hefty amount of butter. Not ghee? What does that mean?
Ghee.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. Sorry. Okay.
Butter.
Clarified butter.
Okay. Stuffing is for bread and grease. Nobody wants your fresh quinoa take on it, especially if you've added craisins. Why? Don't have time for a snappy closer. So thanks again, Kim. Great email, Kim. Yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on healthy Thanksgiving?
It will not get eaten.
Thanks. I hate it.
You'll be taking it home.
Yeah.
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 You can have it as leftovers.
Yeah, it's kind of like socks for Christmas. You're like, I mean, thanks. I guess this is useful, kind of.
I literally got you socks for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah. That was... Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I have not worn them.
Dude, you have worn them.
You're not a great gift giver. It's okay. You do other things
that's
great.
What I'm insecure
like
about.
Cooking for no, Thanksgiving.
Kidding.
You do.
It's fine.
Respectfully, if you're bringing a healthy side to my Thanksgiving party, just go to a different house. Don't come to this event, please. What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Not today.
Not today. It's not the setting for that. It's not. Ugh.
Fastest way to no Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
They're like, I did a healthy take on this recipe. No.
No.
Oh, not save it. Save it for January.
Yeah, exactly. You know? This is not the time. We're all indulging together.
This is a day of indulgence.
If you would like to have healthy Thanksgiving, then you and your one friend that wants to do that with you, go do it on your own terms. In your own little apartment or wherever you live, you go down to the health food store. I don't even know where you shop for this stuff. And have
you like a vegan tofu turkey or something?
Listen, if you're vegan, that's fine. If you can't, that's also fine. I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of unhealthy vegan food out there.
Yeah, you can have potato chips.
And I would love to eat that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll eat vegan if it's unhealthy, but your healthy food, give me a break, man.
Not on the traditional sides. Like you can make like a fruit platter.
Yeah.
Like you know?
It's just not the right setting for that. It's like, hey, we're all going to go play some pickup basketball and you brought your kid. And you're like, dude, not now. There's a time that I'll engage with your kid, but the time is not now. You misread the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with Kim on that one.
No quinoa at Thanksgiving. Or kale. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kale, no. Sorry, I couldn't help it. This one is from Anonymous. He requested he be anonymous on this.
Great.
It's simple. This is his Thanksgiving hot take. Spend Thanksgiving with, quote, that side of the family so you don't have to spend Christmas with them. anonymous, so my wife doesn't kill me. Hilarious. That's so funny. You use Thanksgiving as the sacrificial lamb holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You're the buffer.
This is smart.
This is genius. Mm-hmm. Spend Thanksgiving with the side of the family you don't enjoy because it's only an afternoon. There's no sleepover, in and out.
Yep.
Genius. Signed anonymous is very funny. Here we go. This one is from Francis. Subject: Thanksgiving hot take. I totally agree with Dustin on turkey being a mid at best food, especially for the amount of work that goes into making that meal. But my Thanksgiving hot take as a Canadian, here we go, is an American Thanksgiving is way too close to Christmas. Ours is in October, and it gives us a 2+ month break between extended family get-togethers. Allows us early decorators to kick Christmas off mid-November without overlap, and the weather is still mild enough that you can toss the kids or the obnoxious adults outside when you're tired of the chaos. Love the pod, Francis. Good stuff, Francis.
That's smart. Yeah.
That's really good.
We're close, too close together.
I wouldn't mind Thanksgiving being a different time of year. Yeah. I mean, March needs some help. March is a tough month.
Yeah, or October. October.
No, October's busy with Halloween.
But that's when Canada does Thanksgiving. You're not getting together with your extended family for Halloween.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm just
true.
Saying you could throw Thanksgiving.
So wait a minute, when do they do Halloween and Thanksgiving in Canada too? So they October has. No, they got normal. Well, that's a problem, too. Francis, that doesn't solve my issue. That's too close of a conflict. Those are way different type holidays.
I don't think Halloween is a month-long holiday outside of the U.S.
Well, it should be. I say Thanksgiving in March.
Okay.
Maybe April. Maybe a 4-month break from family.
Well, there is Easter. But
oh, right.
Sometimes Easter's
Sorry,
in
Jesus.
March. Sometimes you could do February.
What's the worst month of the year?
January.
There actually is something to that. What if we threw Thanksgiving in January, just as like at the end of January, as a little like, hey, this makes January less sad. And you eat
I like that.
Christmas leftovers that you put in your freezer.
Damn, there you go.
Something I would do.
There you go. All right, here we go. This is a this was a comment on the Patreon group from Daniel. As I transition from almost old to old, it's a callback to one of my bits. Thanksgiving might be my favorite holiday. I love side dishes, and there is no other extraneous stuff I need to do. You just don't put too much turkey on your plate, Dustin. Fried turkey is pretty good, though. The caveat is that my ideal Thanksgiving requires not having one person stuck doing all of the cooking and prep.
Yeah.
It should be kind of a team sport. Thanksgiving needs to be a team sport.
Yeah, ideally you have a situation where about 4 or 5 adults are each bringing something, like cooking something and then bringing it in.
Right.
Because that's where the trouble starts, is all the side dishes
right
on top of the turkey.
Yeah.
And then you gotta do the pies a couple days before, or you know, it's like a 3-4 day journey if you're doing it solo.
And then the single uncle rolls up with like a bag of Lay's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a six pack.
Yeah.
He's gonna drink all of.
Yeah.
For himself. Yeah.
That's right. That is the time of year that some of the holiday ales are coming out though, so that's nice. Sierra Nevada makes a nice holiday ale. Anyway, sorry, is off
that,
track again.
Is that what you drink while you prep Thanksgiving?
You mean while I go with you to pick up our order?
I'm kidding.
No, we usually go to Smokey and the Brisket, which is a barbecue place, and we have a Shiner Buck in the afternoon. This year I'll be flying home, which if you guys do anything about my calendar, which I did not advertise, then that's okay. I'm gonna be in Everett, Washington the day before Thanksgiving. Okay, I'm glad you brought up the sides, because this is right here from a couple takes on this. One, this is from Elizabeth on the Facebook group, Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans. The best part of Thanksgiving are the sides. I can't stand turkey. I'm going to take this a step further. Personally, my personal Thanksgiving hot take is get rid of turkey. It's a sides holiday.
Well, it takes up the whole fridge. Mm-hmm. It takes up the whole oven for days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just take it out, then you have space and you can still make gravy for all the sides.
It's the most work for the least popular dish. Right?
Yeah.
Turkey,
yeah.
So much work.
It's like an afterthought, but it requires days of prep.
There are multiple reasons we don't eat turkey all year round. One of them is that it takes too long, and the other is that it's not particularly great. It's not bad. Turkey's fine. But you know, turkey is like the LaCroix of meats. You know?
Flavored water.
It's meat-flavored meat. It resembles meat. You're like, this is meat.
You know, ground turkey is like healthy.
Sure.
And a fairly good substitute for beef for certain things.
Yeah.
If you hate yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or love yourself.
You season it well. But on its own. I mean, it's a lunch meat. It's a lunch meat.
I don't eat turkey and I'd be like, man, I need to have this more often. Whew, got to get some more of this turkey in my life. I eat turkey in the same way that I eat vegetables. And then I'm like, I have to eat this. I have to. This is me making a healthier choice. But it's a sides-based holiday. It really, you remember when you watched Aladdin and you're like, the genie is the best part of this. That's the sides at Thanksgiving. The sides are the genie. So, Aladdin is the turkey. It's the most boring,
basic
thing, and it gets way more screen time than it deserves. You're like, give me more genie.
Yeah.
I'm here for the genie.
Aladdin should be called genie.
Aladdin should be called genie. Mm-hmm. Seinfeld is the turkey, and Kramer, who was the turkey in the clip.
Mashed potatoes.
And Elaine and the side characters are their mashed potatoes. Their
gravy.
Ambrosia. Is that what that's?
Ambrosia salad.
Their gravy. It's just, I don't know, man.
They're savory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beetlejuice is the sides.
Yeah. It has more flavor.
It's just better.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the key to Thanksgiving. Is that I see the genius of it, actually. Turkey is the straight man.
It's down the middle.
It's just down the middle. And it's like a palate cleanser between things that have good flavor.
Yeah.
So there you go. I guess turkey is the through line of Thanksgiving. Like, I know there are people who are saying, well, you haven't tried my turkey. And if that is true, I guarantee your side dishes are still better than your turkey. So if you're a good cook... You can make a good turkey, but everything else you make is better.
Yeah.
It's just not a great food, you know? It's just,
It's just mid.
It's just mid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Thanksgiving hot take here. This is from Micah, good friend of the podcast and good friend in our life.
Mm-hmm.
No one makes a better stuffing than stovetop.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah?
It's
that
great.
Got a lot of likes in response to it. Mm-hmm. No one, you're a foodie here.
I mean, I like making my own stuffing, but I mean, they're not wrong. The coagulation of a stovetop stuffing is fantastic. I mean, it's that density, fat in it. It's just rich. It's delicious. It's like eating Cocoa Puffs versus like grocery bag bottom of the shelf
store brand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the brand.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can't say I've had a lot of stuffing, like, where I knew what I was having versus, because I've not ever prepped a Thanksgiving. And
The ones I've prepped were a stovetop. But
great.
But I don't usually, I mean, the thing that sets sides really over the top is if you, like, add another stick of butter to every side dish.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't. I kind of just stick with the basic recipes, so. But I'm not really a foodie.
Yeah.
You know?
What's your go-to pie for Thanksgiving?
I'm pecan.
Yeah, all day.
All day. Mm-hmm. I love pecan. I mean, I like pumpkin, but I love pecan pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like pumpkin fine. Pumpkin, I always feel is a little squishy for me. There's always like a little...
It's almost like a
texture thing.
Flan or...
Yeah.
It's, more of a, it's almost a custard.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't like a pie that jiggles. I don't like a jiggly pie.
It's a lot of pies. There's a lot of jiggly pies.
He doesn't really like pie.
No, I'm not a big pie guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm on the Jiggly Pie team because I like.
You're banana, on Team Jiggly Pie?
Yeah, I love banana cream pie.
Yeah.
Pies.
Really?
Chocolate cream pies. I mean, like, I.
You like a Jiggly Pie?
I do.
Do you like a big, Jiggly Pie?
We're not a big pie eating family.
Yeah. What's your favorite pie? Cherry pie?
No.
No. Do you like a. Do you prefer a Jiggly or a solid pie?
I want half a piece of pumpkin, half a piece of pecan.
There you go.
Yeah.
They sell those at the grocery store. The two-faced of the pies. Yeah.
Yeah. Sprouts.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I don't want any. I don't want a pie that moves. I want a solid, build my house on a foundation.
I mean, technically under the pecans.
Yeah, but
it
I can't see
move.
It. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it jiggle. I don't like
I
that.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't jiggle, though. Like a pecan pie doesn't jiggle. If it did, it's not made right.
No.
Yeah, it's just like real, actual, like sweet potato pie. Like,
I don't want to see my pie twerk.
So
I don't
no
like
jello
that.
For you.
No jello, no. All right, keep it going here. This is, this is from Liz. Her hot take is that stuffing is greater than dressing, and I don't, what's that mean? I know what stuffing is. Dressing different than stuffing? Is that what's?
It's a little different, but I kind of think it's just you call it two different things. The main difference between dressing and stuffing is how they are cooked. Stuffing goes in the turkey. Okay, so it's kind of a regional thing.
Okay,
South says dressing, Northeast says stuffing, Midwest says stuffing.
Liz, you're gonna have to.
If we go off the main, I mean, whatever.
What
their
is it in?
Is,
what is it in Pennsylvania Dutch country? That's what I want to know.
That would be well, because that's Northeast.
No, sorry, that's the last thing. It's so funny. This is what's funny about this Google result: South, Northeast, Midwest, and Pennsylvania Dutch
company. Because you can put cornbread, sourdough bread, rice, potatoes, saltines. In stuffing, regionally. See, I think they're interchangeable, dressing and stuffing.
I think, yeah, from a word-wise, I think the assumption would be dressing is just you're adding
side.
Dressing to the meal, so it's on the side. Stuffing, you're stuffing the bird with it.
Right.
But that's always the thing with stuffing is how sketchy it is because of, like, how it's cooked, and it can end up being, like, unsafe to eat because if the turkey isn't cooked right, the stuffing is then screwed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's,
oh, man.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Have yourself a bit of a...
Well, we're all learning here together. All right, let's keep learning through a couple, reading a couple. This is from Jenny. Our family doesn't like turkey. Love it. So we started a new tradition, Ribsgiving. We decided to add an official holiday the Saturday after Thanksgiving and invite over friends and have my husband's amazing ribs. Everyone brings the sides that they love and they wish they would have been there for Thanksgiving Thanksgiving celebration. We love it and we now have over 60 people join us.
That is a lot of ribs.
Yeah, it's a
wow.
I spare baby back. Tell us more and tell us how to get there, Jenny.
I can't imagine cooking ribs for 60 people.
Yeah. What do you even cook it with? There's got to be, you got to have some big.
That's not terribly insane. Because if you got a good smoker, and you, I could put six racks on my smoker.
I come from a line of smokers. Sorry.
I don't have a smoker. So.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's,
so there you
that's
go.
The beginning of the problem.
Yeah. I think most people don't. That's great.
Amazing.
All right. This one's from Brandy.
I'm really impressed.
My hot take is that I'm thankful my family uses paper plates.
Yes.
At our Turkey Day celebration.
Yes.
Don't tell Martha Stewart. It's not her business. I'm following that right up with, this is from Celeste. I started being the one to host Thanksgiving after the year my sister-in-law served dinner in the aluminum foil pans and came from the grocery store on paper plates. If you're not going to cook, at least put the food on some nice serving dishes. This is what we're saying, man. Make Thanksgiving your own. Whatever you want to do with Thanksgiving, it is the ultimate. I mean, I think this is true of all the holidays, but.
Create your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure.
That's it.
Or create your own adventure.
I almost got it.
Yeah.
Choose your own adventure. It's not an American holiday unless you could just do whatever you want.
Truly. Yeah. Let's all be little pioneers and do what you want on your Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has no rules. If you don't want to eat turkey, don't eat turkey. You know? If you don't want to see your family, don't see your family. If you want to bet your kid's college on the Cowboys-Lions game, do it. You know, make Thanksgiving your own is what I say. This is from Avril. Avril, you complimented me on how I said your name correct, and I've said it wrong. I don't know how I said it now, and it's in my head forever. It's Avril. Yep. Avril, which I've always said. Here we go. We buy the easy-to-heat pre-made dinner from Costco. Stay a few nights in Moab and hike to Delicate Arch on Thanksgiving Day. We get to enjoy a beautiful national park without the crowds, all the yummy food with a fraction of the trouble, and a pool and a hot tub to relax in after dinner. It's a tradition our son created for us 3 years ago, and it became a fast favorite.
Love that.
I'm really rocking with you guys, backseaters. You guys are crushing it. I love all of this. I love this. I'm all for, maybe this is a millennial thing, maybe it's just an adult thing. I don't know. Do you guys get the sense that people are just kind of doing what they want with their lives and holidays now?
I mean, that the traditional spread is, you know, a huge turkey on the table, and but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can think outside of the box, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. That's Thanksgiving is like quintessential Norman Rockwell era.
Literally. Yeah.
So, but millennials are so anti-traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we want to like either go 1,000% at it or change everything.
Mm. When did you start seeing that? I remember Friendsgiving was like one of the first where I was like, wait, ooh, people are doing their own thing. That's cool.
That was a couple, maybe in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Friendsgiving began. Like officially, like the name.
Well, that was a lot of people choosing, I'd rather spend this with my friends than my family, right? Or I don't have family in town.
Or I can't travel.
Or I don't have, I can't travel.
You know, the kids used to not get the whole week off. So you were kind of, you only had like a day to get where you needed to be, you know, like Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it used to be different. But some people do Friendsgiving on top of regular Thanksgiving.
Mm.
It's just like another gathering.
What do you got here on the...
Oh, I was curious. I didn't know where it came from. Apparently, it came from a group of friends at Temple University in 2003 as a pre-Thanksgiving dinner.
A pre-Thanksgiving dinner?
That was tweeted.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is some people use it as another...
An extra thing.
Like a pre-Thanksgiving, like ketchup.
Yeah, it's usually before. Like everyone I've been to always been like, hey, do Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving with your friends.
Oh, I didn't know.
You have actual Thanksgiving a couple weeks later or a week later.
With more so like family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I could just do only Friendsgiving and be perfectly happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mel, you're my friend. And I'm going to spend it with you.
I think we've solved a lot of problems today.
I think...
Yeah, I think we provided, our listeners have provided a lot of alternatives to pull off your festivities, and I hope I hope you learned something today.
In the way that Thanksgiving is served as a buffet, let that kind of act as your own Thanksgiving. Just do what you want to do, a little love, you know?
Have to put any turkey on your plate.
Exactly.
If you don't want to.
Yes. Yeah. Make Thanksgiving your own. Do what you want. If you want to have all the family over and do a big traditional spread and everyone dresses nice and you watch some football or you say a prayer, you do, that's fantastic. I love all of that. That was one of the comments, actually. Mark said, if you're going to ask someone to do family prayer, ask in advance, which is funny.
Don't put them on the spot.
Don't put them on the spot.
Yeah.
But if you want to do any of that, that's fine, too. Just do what you want. Just do what you want. I think that's the thesis of this podcast anyways. Just do what you want and be nice to other people. Don't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey folks, we want to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That is our $25 a month and up patrons. Thanks so much for giving to the podcast, starting with Adam Bush,
Avril Griffiths,
Aubrey Antis,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Avery Starr,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Carrie Teague,
Christopher and Bridget Finland,
Co2Grow,
Courtney Eibling,
Demarius Diaz Stevens,
Daniel Owens,
Dave and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Dustin Daly,
Jason and Francis White,
Jen Thirk,
Jessica Hanrahan,
Jonathan Rivera,
Joshua and Nikki Platt,
Jordan Cowan,
Juliana Smith,
Lori Amos,
Lauren Rachel,
Matt and Sam Slazdom.
Michelle Kaslan.
Nicole Carraz.
Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Mina.
Tiffany Payne.
And Tucker Danzy.
Danzy.
Thank you.
Tucker Danzy. Thanks so much, everybody. Bye.
Bye.